Welcome to Kern Road Mennonite Church this morning. We're glad that you could join us on this, our Formation Sunday. Our children's and youth formation classes will begin today after the worship service, and then in a couple of weeks, the adult formation classes will start up again. This is, of course, a time of year when schooling and education are on many of our minds, especially on the minds of the students and the teachers among us. And so it's fitting that we take some time today to reflect on how we learn about God's story and how we come to know our role in that story. I was talking with my sister the other day, and I mentioned that I'd be giving the call to worship here this morning. She works at a church north of Boston, and she occasionally has responsibilities as a worship leader herself. And so I asked her if she had any advice, and she said, "Remember that it is God that is calling the people to worship, not you." I guess I should get used to my sister being a little bit wiser than I am. So I was remembering her words as I thought about what I might say this morning. Her words, "It is God that calls the people to worship." And so when I read Deuteronomy 6, which is one of our scriptures for this morning, I was struck by these words that say, "Impress these commandments upon your children. Talk about these commandments at home and on the road. When you lie down and when you get up, remember them and write them down." And it seemed clear to me that one way that God calls us to worship is through the practice of teaching our faith to others, and thus shaping the faith of others, our children and our friends, our family and neighbors and co-workers. And so this morning, God calls us to worship as people of formation. Although we may not all be called to careers in teaching or pastoral ministry, we are all called to convey God's commandments to the people that are around us. "Hear, O people, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength."
I invite you all to stand once again for a time of singing and praise. We'll start off with number 46 in the blue book, "I Sing the Mighty Power of God." Number 46.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the glory seas above and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the formed the creatures with the word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests flow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, there's not a place where we can flee, but God is present.
And also, number 145, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." 145. Let's sing verses 1, 3, 4, 5. 1, 3, 4, and 5.
There's a wideness in God's mercy.
I'd like to invite all the kids up to the front of church this morning. So all the kids, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Well, good morning. So were any of you here last week when we collected coins and made a little bit of noise? All right. So you get to lead the way today, huh? Well, today I just wanted to remind you that every week until the MCC relief sale, before offering, you kids get to come up here and collect our bowls and go out into the congregation and collect some coins, and then we'll bring them up here and put them in the funnel, all right? Just a reminder for you and for all of our adults, last year, our congregation collected $863.82, and we're really hoping this year that we could beat that. So that's what we're gonna go out and try to do over the next few weeks, okay? And so adults, just remember, every week if you could collect your spare change and bring it in, the kids are having fun collecting it, and I hope you're enjoying maybe this opportunity to be a little bit noisy in church and sing the My Coins Count song with us. If anybody wants to, in the weeks ahead, learn how to strum this on your guitar or your drum or your ukulele, we'd love to have you come up and make some noise with us in the weeks ahead, so just let us know. But we'll go ahead, and each of you can come up and take a bowl or a pot and make a little bit of noise, and the congregation is going to help us with singing the My Coins Count song, all right? And then when we're done, I'll meet you all in the back, all right? Hey, buddy. Hey, do you want to...
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
If we look around, is there people that we see
all around the world
needing food or water or a chance to live in peace?
We can make a difference in the world
because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
The gifts we are given to be shared
all around the world.
It doesn't matter if they're big or small, we'd use their care.
We can make a difference in the world
because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
When we work together, there's a lot we can achieve
all around the world.
Witnessing to others that we live what we believe,
we can make a difference in the world
because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world
because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
Okay. Could our other ushers come forward this morning? So these coins are all going to support the Mennonite Central Committee in their work to support those in our communities and around the world who don't have access to food and clean water and education. So let's pray this morning. God, help us to be people who give with joyful hearts. As we remember the people in our local community and around our world who lack access to food and clean water and education, open our hands to give generously. Help us give with faith, believing that you will take our tithes and offerings and use them to transform lives and to bring your kingdom here to earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. Amen.
Our first scripture this morning is from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise your holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses, your deeds to the people of Israel. You are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them down on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Well, there was a little faith formation going on up here. I hope you saw it. Because I learned something as I was sitting there watching. There were three children down on their knees. And I thought, you know, God is pleased by us down on our knees, whether we're praying or picking up coins to put in the penny power offering. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. That's from Psalm 19:14. When my brother Jeff died a few years ago, the immediate family gathered around his bed. As they turned off the respirator that was keeping him alive, in those moments of silence and sadness with Jeff's kids and his wife, my dad started praying, a simple, direct prayer, talking to God in this most difficult of moments, seeking God's peace for Jeff and for the family. Now, I grew up hearing my dad pray. Nothing particularly unusual about that. He prayed before our meals, and other family members took turns too. Yet there was something about this prayer at Jeff's deathbed. Something different. This was not a prayer of obligation or habit, even though those are very good. But this was a prayer growing out of a sense of normalcy, of God being with us in every moment of our lives. It was a profound and important moment for his young adult grandsons who were there listening, and for his adult children. And in that way, my dad, who was one who probably emphasized more living your faith than speaking about it, in that way, my dad was doing faith formation with his family. Years ago, when I came back from a youth retreat where I had experienced the lively presence of God's Spirit in a new way as a teenager, I remember telling my mom about it. I was, you know, a little embarrassed about talking about it, but I thought, you know, this is such an important thing to me, I'm going to tell her about it. And I was surprised when she responded by telling me about her experiences as a teenager, her own encounters with God's Spirit that led her to want to follow Jesus, which was so different than the home she grew up in and what she heard as she was growing up. It was something so different. So I can still remember that conversation. It was on a Saturday morning. We were talking in the family room at home, a short but significant conversation. And I heard something about my mom's faith journey at just the right time for me. And that was a faith formation moment, a faith-shaping event for me. I have mentioned to you my Aunt Edith, 93, who seems close to death. I told you that about a month ago. But as a hospice doctor once told me, the human body is made for survival. And she is still living day by day. So a couple of years ago, I was talking to her. I don't know how the conversation came up, but she started reciting Bible verses she had memorized in alphabetical order. Now, maybe you are familiar with this practice. I was not, and I was just like, what? Wait, slow down. Tell me that again. So starting with A, she'd say, A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, Proverbs 15:1. B, be joyful in hope, patient affliction, faithful in prayer, Romans 12:2. And she went on, like, through E or F, and then she started forgetting, and she's trying to remember. But, you know, in that moment, I learned something about her, that she had learned this as a young adult from a friend. And she told me that now, years later, when she couldn't get to sleep, that's what she would do. She would recite these Bible verses in alphabetical order. And I guess maybe she only needed to get to E or F to get to sleep. But anyway. But how precious that she gave me a glimpse into her life of faith, a practice I didn't know she did, a faith-shaping conversation. So those are just some things that I think about, but I wonder about you. I wonder what you think about or who you think about, any conversations or events that have been faith-shaping for you. And hopefully we have these throughout our lives, right? When we're children, when we're youth, and wherever we are in our life, last week, a month ago. These are important stories for us to note to ourselves and important stories for us to tell. As you tell these stories or your own stories of times when you have sensed the work of God in your life, you are involved in the work of Christian faith formation. Now, faith formation is something that God does. It's important for us to keep that in mind. But we have partners in that along the way. Faith formation, we might want to think about as a lifelong process that happens through relationship with God. That's what this faith formation is about. Us learning to know God's story and our own story and identity and how those intersect. So this faith formation is always active, always in process, constantly transforming us to be more like Christ. But even as it is the work of God, it is something that happens in relationship with one another. It grows in the context, in contexts where we feel loved and accepted by others. So how are we formed in the faith? It's in such an amazing variety of ways. Sunday school classes and informal conversations, walks in the woods, times at camp, MYF lock-ins, Bible study discussions, working together on habitat builds, moments of silence when we sense God is with us, worshiping with others, going on service trips together, reading the insights of someone, living through hard times. The list goes on and on and on. God uses all these ways to help us to form our faith. So today I hope we can think about this together and recommit ourselves to this most important work that we do together as a congregation. We support one another in discovering and growing in our Christian faith. Now I think sometimes this is we can make this harder than it really is. Faith formation is simply being attentive to our relationship with God. It's simply living our faith and talking about it and being attentive to those close to us in their faith journey. It's not forcing anyone to do anything or be something they are not, but it's simply being attentive to how God is working in me and in you and what God might want to be doing with us. It's simply being aware of that and living out of that place and being willing to speak about it. We plant seeds, and God, the Spirit of God, provides the growth. Now, this is an approach we see in the Bible time and time again. Linda read for us from Psalm 103. It's a psalm of praise, praising God, and counting all the ways that God has worked in our lives. You, God, the psalmist says, I will not forget the benefits that you've poured into my life. I will not forget you, God, and all you have done for me. And maybe it's that forgetting that is such an important block to us in our own faith formation. We forget what God has done to us. So the psalmist says, I will not forget you, God, and all you have done for me. Forgetting and turning away from God begins when we no longer remember God's goodness in our life. So the psalmist says, no, I'm going to remember. I'm going to live out of that place of remembering. God, you forgave my sins, you heal my diseases, you have redeemed me and rescued me from the foibles of my life. And so I bring my pain, my mistakes, my struggles to you, God, and what do I receive? Your steadfast love, your compassion, your grace. God, you don't treat me as my sins deserve. You alone have the power to transform me and to transform my life. And so after the psalmist talks about how God has worked in the psalmist's life, then the writer rehearses how God has been at work in the life of the people of faith, how this most important part of their faith story is them remembering God's faithfulness to them as a people. And so the psalmist says, God, we remember not only have you healed my diseases and forgiven my sins, no, you led us as a people. You led us out of slavery. You led Moses as our leader. We cried out to you, God, and you heard our cries. You heard us and you answered and acted on our behalf. And so we will follow your ways, God. And so this is a central part of what shapes the people of God and their faith identity. They remember what God has done for them in the past. And this becomes a remembering that's central, and they tell one another and they recount it to one another. And this is part of their faith shaping. We also heard this passage from Deuteronomy 6, a great faith-shaping passage that reminds us to remember God and to love God, and to remember the commandments God has given. Now in the Bible, this passage comes right after the people have received the Ten Commandments. We may think of the Ten Commandments as a list of rules for the people, but if that's how we think about them, we forget the first, most important part of the Ten Commandments, and that's the preamble. It's what comes first before the commandments, and what comes first is, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the God. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of slavery. I heard your cries. Therefore, you will observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. You will honor your father and mother. You shall not murder or commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. So a list of all those things that get us in trouble as human beings that make life more difficult. Don't do them. These are the things that are for our own good, the people's own good, how they will be able to live together in peace. But it all starts with remembering. Why do we do these? Why should we bother to listen to commandments? Why? Because it all starts with, I am the Lord your God. I heard your cries. I brought you out of slavery. So it all starts with remembering and honoring God's work for them, with them. And of course, this method continues in the life of Jesus, who conveys God's love and steadfastness, who teaches God's way of living, who invites people to be in relationship with God, even as he, Jesus, is in relationship with God. And so we see that in the life of Jesus, that Jesus prays to the divine parent, Abba, Dada, Mama. It's a loving nickname. The most important thing when you hear Abba is not that God is male. God is neither male nor female. The most important thing we hear is that this is a loving nickname, Abba, Abba. Someone with whom Jesus has a loving, deep, profound relationship. This, the Bible says, is what you are to remember. This God who knows you and loves you, God's faithfulness, God's laying out a way for you to live. And so these verses from Deuteronomy say, remember the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And impress this upon your children. Let this be on your heart, so much so that it just spills out into your daily life. Impress this upon your children. Talk about it when you're sitting at home, or when you're walking along the road, or when you lie down, or when you get up. Tie these as symbols on your hands, bind them on your forehead, write about God's faithfulness on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Is that a little obsessive? Yes. Remember this. The ancients are telling us and telling themselves, remember this. This is the most important thing in your life, your connection between you and God, between God and the people of God. So remember this and tell your faith story by your living and by your speaking and by your praying and by your singing any way you can. If you have to write it on the door frames of your house, do it. This is the most important thing. Now, how many times have you heard somebody talk, sometimes in our sharing time, where, you know, we get so caught up in all that's going on in our life, and then they'll talk about something very significant that happened, whether it's someone dying or a near accident or blah, 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 I don't know what, and they'll say, suddenly my priorities became very clear. You know, suddenly I just realized my life is a gift from God. Suddenly I realized God was with me in that moment. So we have those kinds of moments in our lives, don't we? When things shake out and we say, yes, it's so easy to get caught up in everything else, but this is what's important. So, you know, how can we help one another do that? This is what we want to be about in our congregation. We want our children, our teens, our adults to know the story of God, how God loves us and hears our cries. And we want our children and teens and adults to know the stories of Jesus and how Jesus showed us God's love and invited us to live in God's way. And we want our children and teens and adults to also know their own story, to understand who they are in the midst of all the pressures we feel around us, shaping us to be something. We want to help one another see ourselves as the people of God, as those who choose to follow Jesus. And that when things happen to us, this too is part of God's story. We want to know the story of God and our story too, and then how they intersect. Now, from the beginning, as we hear in the scripture today, the people of Israel were concerned that they taught their children and how they would pass on their faith. And so they largely educated their children through storytelling and ritual. This is how they passed on what God had done for them. There was often a ritual or a symbol around the storytelling, and it evoked a question. And the children would say, why do we do this? The kids would say, why are we doing this like this? And the parents would say, well, let me tell you a story. This is why we do this. You know, why do we go to church? Why do we bring our pennies and put them in a jug? Why do we help our neighbor? Why do we use our Saturday to go build a house of somebody we don't even know? So the parents and the ones around us can say, well, let me tell you a story. This is why we do this. And it leads us out of our individual, self-centered worlds into the larger world of faith. And we remember God, and we remember that we are part of a larger story of faith of the people of God. And then this, in turn, shapes us, and we remember who we are. So this is a lifelong task for us as individuals, for us as a congregation. This is a lifelong task for you who are parents or aunts or uncles or grandparents. Spirituality and our faith is not something that we achieve. It's a gift from God. It's woven into the very fabric of our innermost being. We can't create a spiritual capacity in anyone, but we can help to form it. We can provide opportunities and pay attention ourselves for the Spirit to be at work. So this is the first Sunday of our Sunday school classes for our children, our junior high, and our high school youth. And so we want to pray a blessing upon our teachers and those who work with our students. But we also want to pray a prayer upon our children and youth. And we also want to pray a prayer upon our adults who are also in this process of faith formation. So First, I would ask that our teachers just stand, our children's ministry teachers just stand where you are seated, and Andrea and Rebecca, you stand as well. Did you do that? First of all, thank you all for making this commitment to be teachers. So let's pray together. God of wisdom and compassion, you are the source of all goodness. And so we pray for these people standing in our midst, our children's teachers, as we enter another year of learning in this congregation. God, we pray for them. Infuse them with your grace. May they know your abounding love in their lives. And may their teaching grow from this place, knowing your love. May they speak to the hearts and minds of their students. And why don't we have the helpers? I should have had helpers stand too. Okay, now let's keep standing. And children, would you all stand? Children, junior high, and youth. Can you stand, please? We want to pray for you too. God of wisdom and compassion, we thank you for these children and youth in our congregation. They are our partners in ministry, for you have put within them a knowledge of you. So bless them as they bless us and as they bless the people around them. Hold them, Lord, we pray. And if you are an adult, I ask you to stand as well. Keep standing, everyone. God of wisdom and compassion, whether we are teachers or learners or both, shape us, form us, help us to be merciful and gracious, like you, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Overwhelm us with your grace and compassion, and allow us to see you at work in our lives. Bless our congregation, God, that we may be a people and a place of learning. Enable us to follow your dream for us and to live in your way. We pray in the name and the character and the life and the way of Jesus. Amen.
Our response to the message this morning will be a little different. We're going to sing four verses, but with two songs, two verses each. Turn to 487 in the blue book, Teach Me, O Lord, Thy Way of Truth, 487. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. The children of Israel should have had this song, because verse 2 says, In thy commandments make me walk, for in thy law my joy shall be. 487.
Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. In thy command,
and then number 545, also in the blue book, Be thou my vision, as we ask for vision as we walk with the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 again, Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision. Not be all
Even as children and adults, we participate in formation with each other. It takes a lot of people in various roles and capacities in the midst of a congregation's life to serve and to continue learning and providing learning opportunities and experiences for people. And so the church calls out a lot of diverse volunteers and leaders in many different capacities, some for one-time or short-term assignments and some for longer-term assignments. And as I look around the congregation, many of you have served in many different capacities over the years, and the kind of experience and passion and gifts and interests and mixes that you have given to the church and to our being a community of faith has been amazing. I'm always inspired by the ways in which we give to share within and outside of the church. We want to acknowledge a number of persons who are serving in leadership capacities for this particular year and then offer a prayer for them. And Brandon, I think, is going to put up, do we have that? There it is. The structure of the church, to at least the current structure of the church, and to remind you of persons who are in a few different capacities. You'll notice that, first of all, there is this church board that is seeking to listen to the voices of the whole congregation. The congregation is that circle that is surrounding the structure. And there are church board members that are called out, serving 3-year terms, up to 2 terms, and they are responsible to listen to all the voices of the congregation, to the broader church, to reflect on scriptures, and also to listen for the Holy Spirit, and then offer vision and direction and guiding principles for staff and ministry teams and many volunteers in the congregation to carry out the vision and direction. And this provides a lot of support to all of those of us who are in various capacities in the church. So each year, 5 persons from the congregation and a member of the pastoral team serve as the members of the church board in the church structure up there called governance. And I'd like to invite these people to come forward and to stand behind me in the platform so that you can see their faces. Vicki Smucker is our current church board chair. Leonard Amuk is also on the board. Marissa Cortez. Marissa is first year participant on the church board, came to our meeting here a couple of weeks ago. Judy Martin Gottschalk, Bob Schreiner, and myself as a member of the pastoral team serve on this church board. These persons are committed to continue to be listening to you and asking questions of the congregation and helping us to seek to define vision and direction and to find our way in the midst of the challenges of our lives together and also of the broader culture and the church in the world. So give thanks for these people, and we'll have a prayer in just a minute for these folks as well. Okay, Brandon, if you can go back to that pedal. Thank you. Also, you see just to the side of the church board, you see gifts discernment, and on the other side, you see pastor-congregation relations committee. These are 2 groups that are identified by the church board, and Jewel Gingrich-Longenecker is the gifts discernment chair, and pastor-congregation relations chair is Barbara Devereaux, and Barbara is serving this morning at Hudson Lake Mennonite Church, and so she is not here, but I'd invite Jewel to come forward if she is, there she is, if she is here. And go back to the flower again. Great, there are 5 petals on that flower: worship, formation, administration, community life, and outreach, and 5 persons that serve as leaders of those different petals. And so administration, ministry team chair is Van Nussbaum. Community life, ministry team chair is Mary Bell. Formation, ministry team chair is Barbara Devereaux. Again, she's not here. Outreach, ministry team chair, Kirby Sprowls. And worship ministry team chair is Josh Artinian Kaiser. If you folks could come forward as well. And then in the middle of that pedal is a pastor staff team. And so I would invite Janice and Andrea and Beth and Kathy and Kim to come forward as well as members of the pastor staff team as we seek to serve the congregation together. Now, I'd like to invite the congregation you to commission these people that stand before you. And so I think Brandon has a reading on the projection that I would invite you to stand and to commission us as your leadership for the church, and then I'll invite Leroy Troyer to come forward and offer a blessing for this group as well, a prayer. So let's read together. In company with your faithful people in every age, we have called up those with gifts for your service, O God. Fill them with the love of Christ and the power of the Spirit as they carry out the church's ministry. Those of us commissioned, can we read together? Grant us wisdom, patience, and hope when we falter. Give us joy in serving your church and keep us faithful to this calling. For the ministries taking form within us and for all the callings yet to be, we praise your name, O Lord. Amen. If you want to remain standing, and Leroy, invite Leroy to come forward. Leroy is an outgoing member of the church board, and he served as 3 years and also served with Phyllis during that time in the former structure, which was the ministerial leadership team, and now has served the past 2 years on the church board. And Leroy, having a sense of the challenges that leadership in the church and learning opportunities that the leadership board provides, I thought he would be an appropriate person to offer a prayer for this group up here. And the church board has offered their thanks to Leroy and presented a gift to him in their most recent meeting. But we give thanks for your service to the church as well, Leroy.
Thank you, Pastor Dave and Janice. Let's also remember the search committee for the pastoral team that is working on additional pastoral support for our congregation. As we commission these people in front of us here, let's also think of how we as individuals can also be commissioned in Christ's service each day for every day of our lives, for people that we meet, have in contact with. It's in Him, Christ, that we live and move and have our being. So let's pray for our commissioning, and thanks to all of you in the congregation for each opportunity that you have. Take it as the opportunities come. Do not let it pass by. So let's pray for commissioning. Dear Lord, we just look to you this morning to thank you for each person that's on our leadership team, for the pastoral team, the board members, and for Marissa, she joins the board, and also for the ministry team that provides teaching for the children. We thank you for the children in our church, and the parents, and the single people, and for all the ages from the newborn to people, elderly people within our church. We want to renew our commitment to you and to commission our lives and renew our lives to kingdom service for you. Help us to be servant leaders and to share Jesus as we live each day of our life. It's in Christ our Lord that we pray, amen.
Thank you.